Welcome to the bonus interview episode of Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the usually quirky podcast that gives writing tips and life tips. I'm Carrie Jones, and with me today is Ronnie Davis. Ronnie is one of the best humans around. I've met her in real life as well as online, which makes me incredibly lucky. She graduated from Ohio State with a degree in psychology, and she has this absolutely amazing debut novel, When the Stars Lead to You. Ronnie, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for being here. And thanks for all the nice things you said.
They're all true. You're amazing. Every time I get to see you in real life, which is not very often because we live in different parts of the country, I get very excited.
Me too.
You are just like,
excited to see you.
You're special. You're just an amazing human being. And whenever I, like, you can probably hear the smile in my voice, is because I'm talking to you and I'm imagining that you're right here in my office with me.
Same.
Yay, love fest. Ronnie, first off, congratulations officially on your novel, When the Stars Lead to You. How does it feel that it's out there in the world?
It feels really weird. It was really cool because I try not to think about it being out there.
Yeah.
And then people are nice enough that they'll remind me, like, they'll, you know, before everything closed down, that they would see it at Barnes & Noble, and they'd send me a picture of it on the shelves there. And that was always fun. And sometimes I'll see, you know, someone will tag me in an Instagram picture or a Twitter post, and that's always neat. It's like I kind of forget that it's out there, even though it's in the back of my mind. I guess it's not in the forefront of my mind all the time.
Yeah.
And so when people remind me that, no, this is a thing and we're reading it and we like it, that's always fun.
I love it. And it's got like some really beautiful reviews. I can't remember who it was, but someone said that it was a powerful debut about reaching for the stars and how to put yourself back together after falling apart.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is really nice. I don't read my reviews, so.
Well, I was like, whoa, that's like put it on your refrigerator worthy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, and they called you a bright new voice in YA.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Was it hard? Like, was it a straight path to go from like a psychology degree to writing this beautiful, brilliant, bright light in a YA world first novel? Was it, or did you have detours?
Oh, there were some detours. When I became a psych major, it was for writing. Because I figure if I can get this character analysis kind of background, that it would be easier to develop characters. So, and I feel like I'm still pretty good at making people, but it's just giving them something to do. That's the trick. And, you know, a plot, a storyline. So I did a whole lot in between just because I didn't know how to become an author. I had to learn how to write a story. And it took me, oh my goodness, I started pursuing publication seriously in 2005, and I did not get, my book didn't come out till 2019, just to show you how long the journey was.
But that's so good. Because like, you work so hard on your craft, you know?
That's one of my favorite things to do. I love working on a craft. I love learning, reading books about it. And I mean, but sometimes I feel like I use it as a distraction. And yeah. I feel like I'm like, well, maybe I should actually write instead of reading books about how to write.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a detour in there where I worked in advertising, I worked in educational publishing, which I still really like when I get the chance to do that. And I trained to be a yoga teacher. I tried training to be an actor. So there's just so many things that I did to try to avoid writing and try to avoid the publication just because I saw how hard it was.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't know if I had the skills. I didn't know if I had the range to do it. And it wasn't until like about 2015, 2014 that I was working on a book, but also We Need Diverse Books came.
Yeah.
Was founded. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm writing about a biracial girl. I'm writing about mental illness. Maybe there's a space for me in the industry now. So maybe I need to get my stuff together and try again.
So that was kind of the impetus, like to restart and like to push you, the We Need Diverse group. Books.
That was part of it. And also, as I said, I was training to be an actor and I realized that I liked, instead of trying to interpret someone else's character, I liked making my own characters. And also with writing, you don't have to be as out there as you do with acting. Uh-uh. But, and also acting, a part of that, I felt like I did like feel like I was in a story. And that was very inspiring for me to create stories.
Yeah. Acting is, I don't find a ton of other writers who have acting backgrounds, but I think it's so incredibly helpful.
It really is.
Yeah, because you do character studies, like you're living the story, like you have like, you know how like in acting they talk about like the super objectives and the wants that are so mm-hmm. important for creating our characters. I love that you have this acting background. I think you can tell.
Cool. I wouldn't mind doing it again, but I'd have to do it in a school that allows me to do it as more exploration as opposed to, okay, you're here, you have to be really serious about it. And those were the schools I was in before where I didn't have that. I didn't feel like I could explore as much as that I needed to already be perfect.
Oh, that's hard. Because acting's mm-hmm. fluid, too.
Yeah.
You know, like there's that element of change that happens all the time when you are interacting with other people on stage, especially. Wow, that's
yeah.
really interesting to me. I think where I when I was in college, we had some really amazingly cool theater professors, and they were really loosey-goosey about that. They were all about that tiny bit of improv element that happens when you're making connections on the stage, and imperfections create
yeah.
character. That's even better, you know.
Yes.
Like, but all the stuff that you've done, like yoga teacher, I mean yoga and like advertising and educational publishing and all that stuff, like it all informs you eventually, right? And what your
yeah.
studies are.
Even I believe so. Yeah, for sure.
Like it might not be officially studying the craft of writing, but you're living life, which is what writing is kind of about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your story is like such a beautiful, your debut. I'm sorry, I keep going back there. I promise I'll stop in a second. But like, it's such a...
It's okay. It's my
story. No, I'll keep talking about it. I'm sorry. It's so moving. It's like such a lovely, tender, like important love story. You know, it's not all tender, but like it's important and it's really, it's emotionally resonant. Was that hard for you? Like, is it hard for you to make a love story, or is the hardest part really the plot itself?
The plot is the hardest part for me. I always knew like the plot of how to make it happen. I mean, I started thinking about some of the characters in that book since in 2010.
Wow.
Just so long, how long that this story's kind of been, that story been brewing, at least the people in the story. Like her best friend, Blair. I found a draft from a book and that I tried in 2010 and Blair was there. And I was like, whoa, hi. There you are. How are you, Blair?
She's just trying to come out early.
And she was just determined to come out in somebody's story. So Yeah, I had been thinking about them a long time. It's just I didn't know what to do with them.
That's so funny. And you found the perfect place for them.
And I found a place, finally.
You know,
I figured it out.
Yeah, and that just made me remember something that I saw on your website, which was that you never felt like you fit in or had a place when you were growing up. Do you still feel like that now? Is that part of the reason you're a writer and have been an actor, like that need to express who you are and communicate?
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I never felt like I fit in, especially. Oops. I always still kind of felt like I was on the fringe.
Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, there were some people on the fringe with me, especially like my senior year of high school is pretty much when I finally started feeling my groove, not till my senior year.
Wow.
Of course, then it was time to leave.
Yeah.
So, I just definitely felt like I was, definitely more my head in the clouds where I grew up in the inner city. People are more cynical. I think a little more angry. And I'd be like, I saw a rainbow. And they'd be like, shut up. So it was definitely like that.
So you're kind of like Kermit the Frog in the world of Miss Piggy's?
No. Yeah, I will say that.
I just keep thinking of Kermit in that rainbow song. Like, so many songs about rainbows or something. I
can't. Poor Kermy.
Oh, we tried so hard. And you have a super nose. And I'm super intrigued because I think I might have a super nose, but I've never heard anyone mention this before.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. It is. I can sniff. Later. Come figure out what it is.
That's so funny. I'll hug someone and I'll be like, wait, did you have spaghetti? And they'll be like, 2 days ago. And I'll be like,
okay, I'm not that super, but like, I can be like, wait, you're wearing such and such scent, aren't you? Or and then I can always be like, in our old apartment, we just moved last year, but before we had like a couple really sick cats. And I can wake up and be like, there's a turd somewhere it's not supposed to be. Time to go sniff out that turd.
It's a difficult superpower to have, really.
It is.
You don't want to smell the bad stuff before everybody else smells the bad stuff.
And I always smell the bad stuff before everybody else. But it also helps that I have a lot of memory, and I know a lot of people have like the olfactory memory, but for me, I feel like it's that much more prevalent. Like there's just certain scents that are very nostalgic to me, and if I get even a whiff of it, I'm taken back to that time or that person.
That's very cool. And you have a lot of senses in your book, like more than most authors.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Like, I think it's more than a lot of other authors, to me at least. I'm like, oh yeah. And I think that's interesting when I try to connect that to your super nose and how like scents bring you back. Like some of us are such visual authors and some are really auditory, and I'm always really intrigued by how people incorporate or don't incorporate the senses. You know what I mean? And I think you do. Really well.
I read like something a while ago. Well, it was an exercise I used to do. I still do, I guess, when I'm definitely revising, like just like stop and look around and you write down like wherever you are. And this isn't necessarily with writing, but just in general, when you're out, like when you're allowed to be out, like you would see, you'd be like, in a classroom, for example. So you would stop and write down 10 things you hear and you write down 10 things you see. And those things help you build, they help you build up the scene when you're writing, if you're writing in a classroom. So now you have this list of 10 things you can throw into the scenery or not. And also it kind of comes from acting too, where we were always taught, you know, grab as many props as you can when you're setting up the scene, dress up in costume, do this, do that, so that when you have so many things in a scene, that's so much more stuff that characters can use instead of like just being talking heads.
Yeah, instead of just sighing and nodding and shrugging.
Yeah, which there's a lot of that in my first draft.
Me too. I always call them placeholders. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm going to be nice to myself. I'm just going to say it's where I need to dig a little deeper, and it's my subconscious telling me that for later. But I don't know if that's really
And true. Also, that's a way you can use like senses and props and stuff to inform who your character is. Like, okay, yeah. Okay, he, like how Ashton is always like rubbing his hand against the table when he gets anxious, or like things like that, like Devin twirling her hair or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's some things that, okay.
It informs the character so well, and you do that really, really, really well.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to quickly mention, before I give you a chance to do a shout out, is that I read that you sleep with the same teddy you got when you were a year old.
I do. He's my little panda noodle.
Is that his name? Panda noodle? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so much better than my teddy's name, which is Teddy. And I still have him. And I got him when I was three from California. It's like the only present I ever got from my grandpa. And I still sleep with him.
Yay.
He's my little leg. He looks bad.
Yeah, mine is, he's kind of falling apart, poor thing. But you know what? Everyone in my house like respects Panda Noodle. And, you know, sometimes Adam will be asleep, and if I start like moving around, like I can't find Panda Noodle, he'll wake up and help me find him. And
that's really love right there.
It really is. And I remember I was at a convention, I think it was 2009 or 2010. I was at a convention. And Aiden was with me. So Aiden's like this little boy. He's like 10 years old and or nine. He's 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And the fire alarm goes off while we're up in a hotel room. And the first thing Aiden grabs is Panda Noodle. He's like, we got to get out. But if we got Panda Noodle.
You've trained everyone really well.
Like everyone knows that Panda Noodle. I'm holding him right now. Everyone knows that Panda Noodle is my thing. So
aww, I'm so glad to have him.
Me too.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you spent some time with us today. I love getting a chance to talk to you, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me to do this. Of course I was gonna do it.
Wow. You're like, your knowledge is a gift, and you're just full of grace and smart and amazing. So I feel really lucky that we got to talk to you. And before we go, I want to make sure that people can find out more about you, or and you give a shout out to anything that you want to give a shout out to.
RonniDavis.com. So it's RonniDavis.com. And my social media, I'm pretty much the same everywhere. I'm Lil Rongal, LilRongal on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Flickr, LiveJournal. I mean, if we want to go way back.
Like MySpace.
I might be Lil Rongal on MySpace too, actually.
I don't even know. Does it still exist, MySpace?
You know what? I don't know.
I don't know.
Wow. But yeah, that's where just type like Google Lil Rongal and it'll be me. So.
Yay. Thank you so much for being here. And I appreciate
thank you
it.
For having me. This was so cool.
You're cool. And you're definitely one of my favorite people, so I feel
likewise.
Good to talk to you. Thank you so much. And you stay safe and healthy, okay?
Yep. Wash your hands. Yeah. Everyone wash your hands.
We give running advice and hygiene advice here on Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Thanks so much, Johnny.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We really appreciate you listening to the podcast. You can find us everywhere. You've already found us once if you're listening now. And like Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. Just Google Dogs Are Smarter Than People, then like and subscribe. The notes to the podcast are also always on carriejonesbooks.blog. Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E. I realized I don't always tell people that. And we'd like a shout out. The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's the artist and what song is this? It's Night Owl by Brooke for Free. You can go to the podcast episode notes and find a link right to it.
Listen to that fantastic music all the time.
Yeah, man.
So, what do we got going on in our lives, love?
Well, right now, we've released the book, The Places We Hide, which is an adult mystery.
And it's good.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it truly is good.
John Ness thinks it's really good because the main character he thinks is him.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, possibly.
We won't tell. Also, I am doing a course. I started a course.
A course?
A course.
What kind of course?
It's a bit like a distance MFA program, and people get to hang out together in a Zoom chat once every month, and I give them feedback for their stories every month. They submit 20 pages, and there's a Facebook group, and we have a bunch of people already signed up, which is awesome because...
So it's like a writing course.
It's a writing course that's also very supportive and helps build community. So you get direct feedback from me and love from other writers.
I know. Any course that you're involved with as the instructor is also like a life coaching course.
That's very
Because you're so awesome.
That's very sweet. There's more information about it on my website. Once again, carriejonesbooks.blog.
You can never say that too much.
carriejonesbooks.blog.
And what else are you doing, love?
Am I doing anything else?
Well, I mean...
Sorry.
You edit people's work?
I'm teaching at the Writing Barn. I edit people's work. You can find me on Readsy. I'm writing my own books. What else are you doing, boo?
Me?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm just doing my regular work. But we are going to start formatting people's books also.
Woo!
And we will be doing print edition and
ebooks. So we're all in one.
Types of formatting styles.
Right. So you can come to us and we will clean up your grammar.
Full service.
Yeah, man.
Book prep / publishing house.
Yeah. Only thing we're not doing is cover design.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Once again, that will have to land back in your on your desk, though, because like, unless people want stick figures for the covers all the time.
You've been the funniest cover ever. That'd be awesome.
Every book's a kid's book here.
Like Edie's font. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'll do the Kama Sutra cover with stick figures.
No. It always goes back to
No,
that.
It's just an example of how it could be deceptive because it's stick figures, but you never know what's inside.
Anyways, we're going to end it here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We really appreciate it. And we stay healthy and strong, okay?
Yeah.
Because we need you in this world.
Stay strong.